Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's turn our attention back just for a moment to the words of Paul. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. The Word. How long have you personally embraced Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? I am extremely thankful that I don't have the ability to remember a single moment of my life when I did not understand the saving grace that is afforded us through baptism in my infancy and the sharing of the word, that every day of my existence I have been confident that Jesus has saved me, that he is the Lord of my life and my world, and has provided me with eternal salvation. I often wish I could believe as simply and as robustly as I did as a child. This won't surprise you if you've known me for any length of time, but I could actually sing the songs of the liturgy before I could read. I had favorite lessons from the Bible that I would share with neighborhood friends and acquaintances as easily and often as I would share accounts of my favorite Packers players and their feats, or what was going on the field for the Chicago Cubs already, even in 1969 when I was in kindergarten. Well, again, long before I could read, depending on the season of the year. And I also remember vividly an adult that was acquainted with my family saying in front of me, not realizing that I could hear them, about me, "That young man someday is either going to be a sportscaster or a pastor." I was also painfully shy about pretty much everything else. But if you were inclined to get me talking, all you had to do to unlock the reality was to either bring up Jesus or the Cubs or the Packers, and you'd be good to go. You'd get me going. Just, that's not a surprise to anybody even now. I know not much has changed, but the phrase early in this lesson, here in this section of Romans, "Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed," that struck a chord with me this past week as I was preparing for today. And it's why I'm interested in asking you that question again that I started with. How long have you personally embraced Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? Paul tells us how important it is that we wake up to the time that we are living in. Advent is a season of vigilance. And the coming of Christ that we are now waiting for, longing for, is the last thing that this world will experience. Then it will all be over. Eternity will begin, and nothing about our relationship with our Creator God will ever change after that. Either we will be with Him in the peace and the fulfillment and the glory of eternity in His presence, or not. And that's also never going to change. And so, it will always also be true about every single day you and I live between now and then, that the day, Judgment Day, Jesus returned to end the reality that we live every day is always going to be one day closer than the first day that we believed. Ultimately, Paul is asking that if you realize this, if the scriptures have convinced you of this truth, why would you ever mess around as though it's not the most important reality of our existence? Yet the urgency of daily life, the immediate, will always sneak up on us. We have to live our lives while we wait for Christ. We have to do our work. We have to raise our families. We have to serve our communities. And there is so very much to do, so much to busy ourselves with that is useful for the world in which we live, that is purposeful, that offers us fulfillment. And we exhaust ourselves in pursuing those things, even to the glory of God who gave us those opportunities in the first place. But it wears us out, it wears us down, and there comes that moment that we know we have to blow off steam. We seek that opportunity. And as soon as we find that leisure and the recreation that comes along with leisure, we know how easy it is to start flirting with this list of indecent behaviors that Pastor and Apostle Paul seems to know so much more about than we ever thought an apostle could possibly know. When he mentions things like carousing and drunkenness, so sexual immorality and debauchery, dissension and jealousy, you and I almost want to ask, what channel has Paul been watching? What social media platform has he been spending time on? It's a holiday weekend. There are so many things that could distract us, but it's a good Sunday to have a lesson in front of us that is clearly so straightforward and to the point. There aren't any words here that need to be explained to us. Everything Paul has to say is crystal clear, simple to follow, and something we know is true to the very point he's intending. We really don't need anyone explaining any of this to us. God and his apostle know exactly how we live our lives, what goes on among everyday people from generation to generation. It doesn't really even matter which side of the tracks you're on. If you're somebody raised in privilege or someone who's had to scrape and scratch to get by from childhood, every one of us knows all too well the very things that Paul is saying here has impacted our lives. We also know how very important it is that someone from time to time speaks these kinds of words to us. Wake up! Realize what you're living, realizing the impact that it has on you and your relationship with your Savior, the corrosion that it causes day after day, and the reality of your life, your own relationships, and your understanding of yourself, and the diminishing of your hope that eternity is real, and that it is going to erase all the pain and the suffering and the struggle of our daily lives and the temptations that we face. For someone from time to time to wake us up from the fog of spiritual warfare that so easily envelops us if we let it. To hear someone say so simply that the worst thing we can do is to live to satisfy our sinful physical desires, that gets our attention. So many of us are working so hard on a daily basis to give the world the impression that we never face these kinds of temptations. We're Christians. We're good people. We don't make those searches on the internet. We don't watch those kinds of movies and shows. We don't go to the kind of places where everybody's drunk by the end of the night, and so on. But we're only kidding ourselves. If we took truth serum, we would all have to admit, every last one of us, that each of us is doing daily battle in the walking civil war of old sinful nature and new person in Christ that the Scriptures clearly tell us we are. And the struggle is so very real between the world that we know and the world that we hope for. The world that would devour us each and every day, and the world that will be light. The world that will be freedom. The world that will be fulfillment that is ours in Christ. So Paul really presents us with only two simple alternatives in these verses. As we wait for Jesus to come deliver us, which reality are we going to invest in? Which reality are we going to spend our time striving to live and focus our energies on? The darkness of the world that we long to separate from, and our Lord and His Word is calling us to separate from all the time, or the light of the world to come, of which you and I have only been allowed to see little tiny glimpses in our time spent with Jesus in His Word. We need to wake up. We need to wake up and ask ourselves a very simple question every morning. We need to wake up and understand the moment that we are in. Even if we back away a pinch from the whole Judgment Day conversation here, which often puts people off a little bit because of the realities of the day we live in, but simply recognize that none of us is promised another day. None of us is promised tomorrow. None of us can say with certainty in this very moment that there isn't something that could happen, accident or incident, or something bubbling up from within ourselves as a health issue that we're not aware of that could end our days on this world today. That should be a reality that draws our focus back to examination of our behavior and our attitudes with honest determination of whether we are living darkness and debauchery or whether we are living light in Christ. Paul, here in these verses, points to a truly fail-safe method of accomplishing that. Did you catch it? It's a terminology he uses in other places in his writings. He calls it clothing yourself with Christ. Most of us are very concerned about the way we look on a daily basis. Maybe not when we're hanging around home or just with friends or just knocking around doing work and who knows what else. But when we head to the office, when we head to church, when we go other places where we know the world is paying attention to us, we're very careful about what we wear, how our hair looks, all kinds of other issues. We want to be looking as good as we possibly can at any given moment. So when Paul talks about clothing ourselves with Christ, what we're really doing is always acknowledging that we are aware of every element of our lives, even our thoughts and desires, and that our Lord and our Savior is also completely tuned in to that reality every moment, every day, whether we're consciously thinking about it or not. It is also embracing the righteousness of Christ given to us through His death and resurrection and applying it to every failure and sin that we identify in ourselves through that honesty. Because of our familiarity with God's Word, our willingness to apply this righteousness to our lives, we have a different hope than everybody else in the world. We have a hope that makes us certain that Jesus coming again is a very, very good thing. Not something to fear, not something to dread, not something to push back against, but something to embrace and hope for and have influence every moment of our lives. Because when we know that when we stand before God in that moment, we will be clothed in Christ, wrapped in that righteousness, wearing the perfection He has won for us, we will be acceptable in God's sight, no matter who we've been, no matter what we've done, because we're covered in the righteousness, the infinite righteousness of the one who has saved us. Our neighbors, our friends, the people that we work with, at times even our own families, will challenge us, will make such choices in clothing ourselves with Christ a question regarding whether it's really the way we want to put ourselves out there, the way we really want to invest our time and our energies. But clothing yourself is availing yourself of daily time in God's Word, time in prayer and meditation. It is receiving the sacrament frequently for your strengthening and your assurance and the changing of your perspective regarding your own sin and God's guidance and His divine preferences for human living. Applying them to every moment of your day, every endeavor, every choice, every priority, every word spoken. It is embracing who He has been for you. And in reflexive love and joy and worship and praise of your Savior and your Lord, it is making your life about what He values more than what you value. What He tells you is best for you rather than what your body and your mind crave and speak an unrelenting desire for, that our darkness here labeled by Paul. So, when those around us struggle with that choice, that reality, that we are living our lives with the understanding that Judgment Day is always one day closer than the first day that we believed, what's actually going on as we live our faith in front of our family and our world and our friends is exactly what Jesus had calibrated and intended all along, as He tells us in the gospel. Because we will be living the light that Paul talks about in these verses. And others will see that light, and they'll be drawn to that light, and they will give us opportunity to share with them the hope that we have, the understanding we have of this word that guides us and speaks clarity regarding our lives and our choices, our morality and our attitudes, about everything, in a way that gives us opportunity to share the word itself, which then has the power, through the working of the Spirit, to draw them to the light, that they might also know and embrace, believe and rely on Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. That is what life is about. Whether we always think about it or not, that is exactly how we were called to eternal life. Someone who knew the Word shared the Word with us. And the Holy Spirit used that word and its power to convince us to trust that Jesus is who He says He is, that He has done everything He's claimed to have done, and He will do everything He has also promised in the future. That is how everyone is called to eternal life. Whether they're a tiny child, maybe even baptized as an infant, or whether they're a great temple senior, when that moment happens, the Spirit uses the Word and everything changes. The Word is shared. It wakes people up, as Paul says it here. And lost human souls are led to understand that this dark moment that we're living, which always can describe the human predicament at any given moment in human history, the dark moment that we are living is a moment closer to Christ's return. A moment closer to that most beautiful of all moments that all believers long for, that every believer desires, knowing it is the moment eternal life will begin. The Lord bless your Advent pursuit of preparation as you purposefully, intentionally invest time in preparing yourself to acknowledge His arrival in our world through His incarnation at Bethlehem as the child that would live a perfect life and offer his holiness for our sins. But also realize that Advent that we celebrate is all about the coming of Jesus as our Lord and Savior to deliver us from the darkness of the world in which we live. And always realize day by day, moment by moment, we're always one day closer to that reality than the day we first believed. We need to prepare our hearts and our souls and minds to see our Savior face to face, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because you never know. That day could still be today. Amen. Please stand. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.